Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Tonight on the 24 Hours to Hell and Back After Show, we finally get to eat some food. What? And we get to break down the super crazy renovation of Boardwalk 11 here in Los Angeles. Plus, we have a super special guest. Stay tuned. The After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Hey guys, welcome back to another 24 Hours of Hell and Back After Show. This one we're super excited about because we have a very special guest. We have Chef Wayne Elias with us here.
Chef Wayne!
Yay! And he brought us food!
In the house.
I'm so hungry, Zia.
We talk about this and every single week.
Every week.
How we, like, we always watch the show. We see the new menu that they make and we're like, oh my God, we're so hungry. Why don't we have food?
And Chef Wayne prepared this in your little kitchen here.
He did.
How about that?
I know.
That just goes to show you, you can make gourmet meals at home.
Yes.
Right?
And this is
as long as I'm
kitchen.
Giving you the recipe, you can do. I mean, if somebody else
might
is,
be
I don't know.
Stealing this recipe.
That's fantastic.
Because not only did you make this, but this is a little sample that we're getting from the upcoming Elton John's AIDS Foundation Oscar viewing party.
That is correct.
Oh
two
my
of
God.
The Pastor d'Oeuvre items.
This
you
is
guys.
We're
so
tasting
lucky.
This before Elton.
We're so lucky.
I want Elton to know that specifically. I don't
know. He's never
going to. That's amazing.
Just
we're
going to
talk about
Elton.
The cause, everything that you're
yes.
doing with all that.
So we're
going
to get into all of that. Plus, we are going to talk a little bit about the Boardwalk 11 renovations because this was a fun one.
It was
before
fun.
Before we jump into all of that, though, I already mentioned that we have Chef Wayne Elias with us and Mike.
Guys, it's Mike Thieling. I'm joining, but I'm just ancillary here. I don't even care. I might just take the plates of food and let them talk.
Okay. And I'm Zia Anderson, and I'm also like just focusing so much on this food and the fact that we get to eat it.
I don't
like.
It's very difficult to explain. We almost had to fight people for it not to be eaten by other people in the studio here to get it in here.
He was cooking it, and everybody started gathering around him. Was like, "Hey, what are you making?" And for the show.
I felt like this. It was about me. All about me.
It is
pictures.
That's right. It's like herd mentality when they smell food around here.
It's exactly it. And you are. You're the celebrity chef tonight.
Yeah.
Yay. And I'm excited to get a lot of the insights from you because you have been a chef in the industry for 40 years.
That is correct.
And you've owned...
So you started when you were 6 months old.
See?
And
I like
just
this guy.
Cooking amazing.
Just a baby cooking away in the kitchen. Prodigy. Mm-hmm. And you've had the Rockwell Table and Stage for 10 years. And you also have your own catering business. It's Crumble Catering.
Crumble Catering.
Awesome. Yep. So we can get so many insights from you. We have so many questions. You don't know how much we talk about this. And we're like, oh my God, we need to know.
You ask me, I'm going to give you all the inside information.
There's all the dirt on the restaurant industry here tonight.
So quickly, before we jump into everything, just quick overall thoughts of what you kind of thought of Boardwalk 11, just first seeing it. Before the renovations, what you think of the owner and some of the staff that worked there, because this was a bit of a problematic episode.
It definitely was. Well, from the beginning, when you meet the owner, you can tell he's, first of all, doing way too much, but he's burnt out doing too much. Then you go right into the kitchen, and you see the chef. She is only 24 years old, which is really young, I will say. But she sounded like, or appeared to be like she had the passion, but she had absolutely no control to make any changes, to lead the staff, to do anything that would better the restaurant. And the staff that she had, coming in drunk every day,
oh my God,
being
yeah.
late when they want to be, in, you know, talking sexual innuendos all the time. So it was not easy for her to actually take control and put her passion out there. So that was definitely... Immediately.
Yeah.
We knew that Steve has owned this restaurant for 17 years, right? And he told Gordon that he was just burnt out, tired of it. Is that something you see a lot with owners who've been doing it for a while to lose passion for the restaurant?
Completely. It's such a okay, we're married to the business, so it's 24/7. I think the divorce rate is probably very high in the industry. I should be dating somebody in the industry instead of dating 9-to-5ers.
But there you go. That would make sense, yeah.
That's another show.
Chef dating.
People do get burnt out. You have to always be motivated. You have to be passionate. And you have to stay on the cusp of what's changing, especially in L.A. Things are flash in the pan and things are changing. And you have to keep your restaurant in good standing. Painting the walls, redoing the chairs. They showed us ripped banquettes. I mean, it is an effect that when guests come in, they're like, you know, I've been coming here. The place is looking pretty drab.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go into, of course, food service and other issues.
Is there, when you're starting to feel that, because you've been in the business, you've owned several restaurants, when you're starting to feel a little bit drained, is there something you go to every single time to kind of rejuvenate, get that passion back?
I actually go out a lot on my free time. So I am always being inspired and seeing what is somebody else doing. So it keeps me alive and well.
It sounds like stealing recipes.
Stealing decor ideas. I feel like this is great. We could use this.
How else do you learn what you're doing in your passionate industry? You go out and see what everyone else is doing. And go, oh, I love that. Like, let's say grilled cheese. Oh, I love that grilled cheese. I'm going to put a twist on it, and it becomes my recipe now.
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
So everybody does look at everybody else because you can learn all the time.
And it seems like you would have to, because you're right. If you eat something, you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is delicious. I know how I can make it better.
That is the key.
Uh-huh. That's right. Ashley, and you opened the door right there for something we were talking about earlier. You mentioned you're single. What are you like to go out on a date with to a restaurant? Are you tearing it apart? Are you hypercritical? For me, I feel like that'd be super intimidating to take somebody out, specifically who works in the restaurant industry.
People are always intimidated. Like, I don't know where you pick the restaurant. And I always say to somebody, you know, I go to all the restaurants. Why don't you pick where you would want to go? And if you can't give me a good choice, then I'll take control.
Okay.
But I'm easy. Give me a corn dog and some mustard dip. I'm fine.
Ooh.
I'm
worst cooker. Worst cooker? Come on,
yes,
worst cooker here
go.
In L.A.? The dog? Oh, so good.
So I am pretty simple. If I'm out with a group of friends and there's an issue, everybody looks at me and I'm I'm free time.
That's right.
You guys can make a scene. Don't be the asshole. Don't be the a-hole customer.
No,
please keep
I can
it,
relate.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe I won't go back. But when I'm at a five-star restaurant and spending $300 a person, not too often, of course, that's when I would be picky.
Right.
And that's fair.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, you're paying that much money, you want to have literally a flawless experience, because $300 a person, oh my gosh.
Right, exactly.
But I completely relate. I've served in restaurants for, gosh, it's been like 13 years now I've been working.
I feel for you.
And it's, thank you.
You're basically on a job interview right now.
I know. Do you need another interview? Do you need another server?
There's actually no show. We're not actually live right now. Zia just wanted an interview with Chef Wayne.
We've lulled you here under false pretenses. I will not send food back. I won't. Unless it has to be really, really bad for me to send back.
I'm the same way. But totally the same way.
Yeah.
Tonight, it definitely seemed like there was some stuff that could have been sent back.
Oh, yes. Especially after we saw what it looked like on the after side. And when Gordon got it at the table, everything tasted like. The biggest thing he did mention was, we sat down and you brought all his food out in 8 minutes or less.
Yeah.
A burger with fries and meatballs and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, it was microwaved, and he probably wasn't far off about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
Jinx.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while.
We've been doing this for 2 years.
How about, now Zia always loved to skip over this part, and I never let her. We got to talk about Gordon's disguise, because he went straight, come on, biker gang dude, went in with his bros, and I love that he never speaks, because they British accent does not work with any of the outfits that he puts on right away.
He
so he's in there.
He had long hair. Even besides the female, he dressed up as an old woman. This to me was the most jarring.
Is it really?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know why.
No. Him and the old ladies were amazing.
Oh,
they basically made the Golden Girls and went to a restaurant. It was fantastic.
I would have liked to have seen him in that, because that would have been, did the server, could they tell that it was a guy in drag?
They never do. Well, actually, with the Golden Girls, one of the women said, he'll have this, because he didn't want to talk. And the server, we don't know, really picked up.
Confused.
They never say it, but you never, I don't know. Who knows?
I think you just don't want to be rude. As this, like, my whole thing as a server is always just, I don't want to be rude, and I don't want to assume anything.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't know, whatever you're doing. Yeah.
And generally, as Americans, if he would have spoke when we hear a British accent or Australian accent, we're immediately grabbed. gravitate to them.
Oh, so yes. They're much more intelligent.
Right? Yes.
So he didn't want to talk because he didn't want any, not anybody would know, oh, Gordon's in the restaurant, not like,
that. Oh, this British guy.
Sure, sure.
Some British dude. Let's ask him some questions.
Just say random words in the accent because it's cool.
That's right.
Yeah. So definitely there were a lot of, okay, this is the part that we're really, really excited to ask you about because we literally talk about this every single week. When Gordon goes through and he does his walkthrough of the kitchen and when they show the cameras how disgusting everything is. I mean, they were talking about moldy steak that they were saying, hey, just cut the mold off and cook it.
Okay, that was bad.
Oh, I mean,
that was the worst I've ever heard. And that person, they kept him in the beginning.
Yeah.
They did not fire him right away.
Because that was Brandon, I believe.
Yes, it was Brandon.
Yeah. It was Brandon.
That alone would have been like out the door.
I mean, chef, that's illegal, isn't it?
Yes, it's totally against Aaron. It's like.
So we always want to know, how do these restaurants pass a health rating? And I know that's something you have to be so familiar with, working in the restaurant industry as long as you have. I mean, I know in our restaurant, too, everybody's running around like a crazy person when the health inspector comes in. Tell us some of the things that, first of all, how are these restaurants open? Second of all, some of the things that you can get dinged on so easily. Like, how hard is it to maintain an A rating?
It's extremely hard. And especially California is the, if I'm correct, California was the state that started the whole rating. We are the ones that started the rating system.
Yeah.
There was a gentleman on NBC TV News that did the undercover of going into restaurants and seeing how they're actually serving food in the shape that they're in, and that's when the health department said we're going to start grading. And this is years ago.
Okay.
And I'll never forget it when it happened. So it's very in California, you have to be on your game. They will ding you so quickly. You can go into a storeroom, and if there's a little rust on a shelf, that's a point. So you have 10 points. So from 100 to 90, you go from A to B very quickly.
Wow.
So it might not all be food related.
Right.
It could be about storage. It could be about your refrigeration door. The gasket is a little worn out. You need to replace it. Now, if the health department inspector is kind, he'll be like, I'll just tell you. But he could also write it down and put it in a category, and you could use another point.
Wow.
So you could lose points very fast. The biggest thing are temperatures. Your refrigerators and freezers have to be on point. And when they put that thermometer in the food, it's got to be correct, or they can make you, if they make you throw it out, that's 4 points.
What?
So it's it's very easy to go from an A to a B in our state, for sure.
So how far down below do you have to go before you're not allowed to be open?
It's under a C.
Under
you can be an A, B, or C. After that, they can close you.
Okay. And then how difficult is it to raise your rating back up?
So you have two options. You either can wait till your next inspection, which nobody does, or you pay a hefty fee and you can be re-inspected within 10 days.
Okay.
Okay.
And you have to go down to the health department. You got to fill out the form, pay the fee, and you get everything ready. And within 10 days, unannounced, like they do anyway, they will come reinspect you and you can immediately correct everything.
Mm-hmm.
But in that 10 days, you have to post that bad grade and you have to deal with the ramifications of your regulars and customers being, I don't know, they got a B, they got a C, you know.
Oh, so, I won't eat in any restaurant that's under an A. Literally.
Except the spot down the street from her.
I ate down the street from this place and at the time it must have had an A, but when I was walking by it the other day, it had a C.
Okay, well, that's
and
a
I was
big
like, oh,
decline.
No.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
So for a restaurant like this that we see and we see in this show, when Gordon takes his hand and he just scrapes a whole bunch of muck, is that like 2 points?
Yes, it's definitely two or 3 points. Because you
that seems like it should be like 50 points.
It was hard to see on the TV. Okay. But you can't. There's no way you can. I don't even know what their grade was. It had to be pretty bad, and they were losing so much business. You cannot operate even correctly with that kind of grease piled up, and they weren't cleaning anything for how long? I mean, I blame Steve, the owner, and the chef at the time.
Sure.
She wants to be the chef. Well, if she sees things falling apart, she needed to step up to the plate a little quicker.
But what would you say is the reason? Is it just that they are operating with a very, very low score? Because to us, when we see the changes that Gordon makes or the fouls and the rotting food and this and this and that, you would think there's no way they can be legally operating.
But he was legally open. We saw
it. But so it's just got to be a C.
He just has
He's got
C.
the lowest possible you can have.
Well, but he's got also, like a C minus.
There are certain areas in town that the health department maybe hasn't been there in a year.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It could be on a decline.
Got it.
And until they actually, if an inspector would have went in there, they would have been closed.
Tore down. What's the average time between inspections?
So you can be in, there is no rule of thumb.
Okay.
But typically you can inspect it 4 times a year, 3 to 4 times a year, 3 to 4 months, unannounced. Like I told you guys today, I was in the middle of something.
That's why Chef Wayne is sweating a little bit extra right now. He was inspected today. Passed, A, no
a
problem.
I was in the middle of something, and they walk in and like, hi. And it wasn't the, so the last couple of inspections for the past 2 years, I've had the same inspector. So I know when he walks in, I do what you do. Fire drill, okay, everybody make sure everything's in order before he gets to this part. This gentleman walks in. I've never seen him before. I thought it was going to be, and he goes, hi, and shows me this badge. I'm from the health department. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. Let me take you where you need to go. And then I'm looking at the staff. And first of all, we do have an A, and we're very conscious of keeping everything in order. So I wasn't worried,
right?
But you're always worried.
Sure.
Oh, because
they're not
like
working with me.
Tiny
of course.
Things. You, like yes. You see, it's just tiny things. It could be something so small that means nothing, that's not affecting the cleanliness of your restaurant, but you can still get a ding.
Absolutely. The light switch could have a little dirt, you know, smudge on it from the night before. It's a ding.
But so essentially, these restaurants are probably operating at a B-minus, C-plus the last time they got inspected, and it's maybe been a while since they were inspected. So they just slide.
No plus and minuses. B to C.
All right. Just a straight C.
We, finally get an explanation behind this, because we've always been wondering, there's no, like, how are these places open? But that does make sense. If it's been a while and they're just slowly going downhill, then that would definitely make sense. And
Zia,
yes.
If I may interrupt, do you know what's not going downhill?
AfterBuzz!
Hey! I like to do segues, Chef
He's
Wayne.
He's so good
guys,
at segues.
We know you guys ride with us. You're riding with Chef Wayne right now. Who else brings you amazing food, amazing fun conversation? And Chef Wayne has an amazing restaurant, but maybe you like to go to more than one type of restaurant. That's fair. You may want to go to more than one type of show. AfterBuzz has after shows for every single genre you can imagine. Sci-fi, reality. I was just on The Bachelor this week. Survivor's coming back next week. Zia does a bunch of comic book stuff. We do lots of fun stuff. So check out all the AfterBuzz YouTube channels. Subscribe to us. Leave us comments so we can shout you out on the show. If you guys are listening to us on iTunes and your other podcast places, give us a 5-star rating. Let us know you did so. Let us continue to be the ESPN of TV talk because we love you guys.
Ooh, that sounded good.
Thank you.
DJ. Best live reads. Yes.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Keep putting all those wonderful comments in the chat.
We love
and
it.
Tell Chef Wayne what you want him to cook for you when you come through to his restaurant.
That's right. I'll take requests.
When we talk about how amazing it is.
You know it. So finally, we kind of got down to the kitchen. And this is another big question I got for Chef Wayne, because we basically had 3 chuckleheads in the kitchen cooking along with Kat, right?
Goofing around.
Brandon, who seemed like he cared, but just maybe wasn't the most apt chef. And then Keith and
Richard,
who were just joking off, coming in late all the time, coming in drunk, drinking all the time, completely disrespecting Kat, the chef.
Who basically at this point, Kat's not the chef anymore.
Sure.
Like at that point, she's just in the kitchen. She's another person in the kitchen.
And because of the disrespect from the rest of the staff, but also Steve, the owner, is extremely overbearing and seems not to want to give up any control. Chef, when you had your first restaurant, is it tough to give over that control to a general manager or somebody?
Completely.
Yeah.
It's taken me a long time to relinquish as much control as possible. And I will tell you, I have a business partner named Chris. He has always says, you know what? We just got to let go. We got to pull it back, because you hire managers or you put in chefs and sous chefs. And if you don't give them that responsibility or give them the excitement that they're the boss or they can make the decisions, then you're doing everything and you get burnt out. And they don't feel empowered.
Right.
We have to empower them and let them say, hey, guess what? I can grow. I can step it up to the next level. And I have staff that's worked for me for 25 years.
That's amazing.
And I have graduated. You know, they started at dishwashers. They became salad men. Now they're line cooks and now they're chefs.
Wow.
And not only have I learned, but I've also given them the control. And I want to go home and relax.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to think, okay, I have to do this, that, and everything.
Right.
So it's nice relinquishing, but it took me a long time.
And then if I could, the flip side to that, do you have a rule of thumb? Is it a gut instinct when you know somebody's not working out and you have to let them go? Is that a quick cut Or are they getting chances? Or what is it like? Because there's no way these guys should be skating by for so long with the antics they're pulling.
Also, they're just wildly incompetent.
Sure.
On top of it.
Yeah, I guess they also can't cook. That's true.
They're wildly incompetent. Right. Yeah. So, unfortunately, the state of California labor law is you can't just fire anybody.
See, I heard the opposite. I have to know. I read it in the state of California. I'm so sorry to interrupt. And so I'm trying to figure this out, that you can fire anyone for any reason at any time.
I know that to be true, personally.
Yeah.
First 90 days.
Okay. After 90 days.
After 90 days, they're a full-blooded employee.
And it's
harder.
If
you would like to terminate them, which is fine if they're not working out, you have to give them written warnings. And you have to suspend them and write them up. And then you can terminate them. When they decide to sue you for unemployment or create a case against you, you have your documentation. No problem. You don't, you lose.
Is that a tough thing?
It's very tough because, you know, it's never easy to look somebody. And Kat did it on TV when she fired
I think it was Richard.
Richard.
She fired Richard, yeah.
The first one that we saw fired.
Yes.
And, you know, it's hard to look at somebody after they've worked and tried, and, you know, to let somebody go is not easy. I'm from New York. I'm a little more direct. It's still not the best part of the job, but I can do it.
You ever had somebody as flippant as these guys where it's so obvious?
No. Because they would have never lasted.
This would be easy to fire, These guys are easy.
Past the first 90 days, they would have been gone in a week.
Right. They have to at least show that they're trying and that they're competent and they can actually, you know, have some sort of skill in the kitchen.
These guys were just collecting a check and having fun and they could care less.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, it was obvious.
And that goes to the point of what you were saying. It's difficult for you to relinquish that control. No one cares about your restaurant as much as you and your business partner.
True.
And when you're away, is that constantly eating at you? What's the staff doing? What, you know, it's a huge level of trust.
True. Now, I always tell them, remember, I was 24 once too, and I could do it better. And the thing is I never got caught if I was doing anything. Don't let me catch you. And yes, I'm out saying, I'm sure they're having shots of tequila, enjoying themselves. Probably friends have come in. They're probably, you know, but there's a certain, us operators, we have to turn a blind eye because it's never going to be perfect. And you know what? If it's not going to hurt anything and it's not out of control.
So as long as the things are still getting done and
none of your employees are listening
properly,
to this.
They already do what they want. It's when I catch them, I give them the iron fist.
Well, look, you also want your staff to kind of have some fun there so that there's a sense of when you go in that everybody's
good morale.
Not right. There's a sense of good morale. You want people to enjoy going to work, especially your servers who are interacting with the guests and the customers.
And as you know, we deal with all, as you do too, and I'm sure you do too, customer service. So,
yes.
You know, sometimes we get people that are difficult or, you know, not reasonable and, you know, so you have to help them take the edge off. We get stressed out ourselves
by
altercations about how people treat and talk to us. So, you know, occasionally at the end of the night, now my staff knows. I'm like, listen, if you want something, just ask me. So when they say, hey, can I have a shot? Can I have a beer? 9 out of 10 times, it's yes. Rarely do I ever say no.
What a great boss you are. Are you sure
but
you're not
Zia,
hiring?
Keep it going,
Zia. Are you sure you're not hiring?
If you want to focus the camera on me, Zia will slyly slip her resume.
And that is clearly, and I'm just like, so I have it at home. But that's clearly something that Steve, the owner of this restaurant, was not understanding that how much your staff can bring you down. Because so Richard gets fired. Kat finally fires him, which is amazing. And it was the first one who got
Keith was fired.
Keith was fired in the beginning.
Thank God.
Yes.
Steve fired him.
Yes.
So good for Steve.
Yeah. That was great.
At the end of their 3 months, they're both back.
Okay, that doesn't make sense.
Why?
I'm so confused.
That made the episode for me, by the way. The whole episode, I was kind of like, eh. And then when they were both back, not only were they both back, I mean, we're really skipping ahead here, but not only were they both back, but Chef Kat is demoted.
Yes.
The
Manager Kat.
Manager Kat.
Demoted.
Demoted to server. And Steve back in there. Basically 24/7, it seems, when the whole point of what Gordon did was you're not allowed to come into your restaurant.
Talk about reverting. And, you know, and it's really sucks because, and going back a little bit to the dinner service, it had a really rough start. Kat, yeah. They were not talking in the kitchen, and Kat was really struggling. She was legitimately having a hard time in the kitchen, but she brought in, she hired, oh my gosh, Alfredo?
Alfredo. Right, yes. Alfredo. Yeah, who's obviously a friend before.
Yeah, but he was great. He was quick in the kitchen. He knew how to cook. What happened to Alfredo?
They threw him on the fire, yeah. too. It was his first day coming in.
And he did fantastic. It took him a while to get it together, but they finally got it together, and they were actually enjoying the food.
Right.
I don't understand what Steve was thinking.
I want to know what Gordon's thinking.
Yes!
He went there, he spent all this time and money, tried to take this business for this guy, make it 20 times better than what it was.
I don't know. Chef Wayne,
scam.
Yeah, no, I think Chef Ramsay is thinking, cha-ching, cha-ching, do whatever you want, man. Not my restaurant. I don't care.
Do you think
I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink.
No, but you're right. I mean, I'm sure it's interesting for somebody, you know, to let him know, hey, by the way, they did everything opposite that they put together, and it's back to what it was.
Do you think he ever just gets insanely frustrated? Would you get so frustrated if you helped someone?
I would be like, okay, you know what? They're losers. Loser.
have you Gordon Ramsay'd friends' restaurants and stuff like that? Given tips and things like that before?
Well, you know, I've gone to his restaurants. Vegas, Los Angeles, when it was here at the Grove. But I did work with him for a couple of years.
That's it. You mentioned that. Yeah, absolutely.
Do also, Jonathan, in the booth, if you would, we do have a, whenever you can, we have a photo of you two together.
Yes.
Of working with Ramsay.
What's he like in person? How much did he yell at you?
So, you know, everybody asks that. Of course, we're collaborating on a big dinner, and I'm the one producing and serving. So I'm making him look good. He was very nice to me.
And that was, yelling. Again, with no Elton John.
It was one of the Elton John Oscar yes. parties. Yep.
And fantastic. Look at that.
He was a gentleman.
Chef Wayne!
He's like Chef Wayne. He used to call
me Lil Wayne.
Because he's 6'4 and I'm 5'6, he'd be Lil Wayne. And I'd go, I'm not the rapper.
Lil Wayne.
I'm not the chef rapper.
That's fantastic.
Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, get over here. And by the third year of working with him, I was like, call me what you want.
That is so good.
He would do this great tasting. We would put the food out. He would do tasting. And I'm like, he's going to have to say something. He'd be like, a little salt and we're fine.
So, but do you find...
Okay. That's an amazing... that's like the best.
That's like it.
That's it. A little salt. Okay, great.
You didn't say
recook
it.
Right, right.
No, that's amazing.
Do
shining.
You find with other restaurateurs, your friends, do you guys collaborate and do they ask your opinion on their dishes and what they could do to their restaurants and things like that?
Do you know what we actually collaborate more? Instead of food and recipes, we collaborate on running the restaurant.
Like, okay.
What do I do with this employee? I want another day off. How am I going to manage this?
Sure.
Do you have a better vendor? When it comes to food and recipes, we all dine at each other's places, and we all respectfully will say, hey, you know what? This sucks, or you could do this, or you could change this. So we give each other nice, critical comments.
That's great. That keeps you on your toes.
Completely.
You
listen,
you need a friend, honest feedback.
I'd much rather have a friend tell me before the customers tell me.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
So it's much easier that way. And I'm open to all comments. I'm like, if somebody could teach me how to do it better, including staff, I will do it better.
How about
that's the best way to be?
Yelp, because Yelp pretty much runs restaurants these days. How do you respond to Yelp reviews personally? How do you sort of react to them? Do you even think about them? Is that
it's a big thing for
us. Right,
mm-hmm. Totally big thing. So I'm the administrator for my business, so I respond to everybody.
Wow.
And you know, obviously people can Yelp about whatever they want to say. It doesn't mean it's always true, but you have to take it lightly, and you cannot let it get to you.
Sure.
You have to just respectfully understand what they're saying, and you address it. And sometimes, in between all that anger and those lines and those nasty words people use, there could be a good point. So I take what's valuable, and I fix it.
That's such a great
the
way to
rest
look at
of it.
It
can't be changed, and I don't do anything with it.
Chef Wayne is the Bruce Lee of Yelp. absorb what is good, and then pass on everything else.
No, that's amazing, because no matter what, you could be the best restaurant in the world, have the best food in the world, and you know somebody's going to come in and have some sort of an issue, because they're just that kind of person.
Food is the taste. Taste is personal.
Yeah.
You know, what I think might be phenomenal, somebody's been like, oh, I hate cheese and raisin combination, gross. And they'll write about it. Now, rightfully so. Do they need to tell the world? No.
Well, and also, this is something that always is mind-boggling to me. I am, and people can, you know, hate on me for this. It's fine. I don't like mushrooms, and I don't like goat cheese. And I have one particular dish at work that has mushrooms and goat cheese in it. Yes. So people always ask me, is it good or do you like it?
Now, are you the honest
Yes, I am. I can't. I'm horrible. I can't lie. No, that's can't great. Be the person that's like, this is great. I'm like, it is not for me. Do you like mushrooms? You'll probably like it. But it's one of those things. It's like complete. I mean, tastes are so
There it is.
Tastes are so subjective.
Yes.
That it's hard. You can't please everyone. And so if you don't like a dish because of something that's in it, don't get that dish.
Right. No, it's totally true. And then if you take that element out, it could be the element that makes the dish.
Right.
So people always think they're going to recreate everything. It's going to be better. Not necessarily. Right. And then they complain, oh, it was horrible. I'm like, you took three of the main ingredients. The dish was about.
Exactly. I see that happen a lot. And then they send it back. And I'm like, okay. Well, you did that. Speaking of food and components, we have some really, really amazing things here to try. And I don't think I can wait any longer. I've been eyeing these entire show.
There's a reason I took my glasses off. They just look fuzzy to me, so I wasn't getting distracted by them.
Well, you can still smell it.
That's true.
Okay. Yes, so can. Tell us about, before I just shove it in my face and look like an animal, tell us what exactly this is here.
So this, I call it the adult grilled cheese. So it's a grilled cheese made on raisin bread, cinnamon raisin bread. It has some mascarpone, Italian mascarpone cheese, some crumbled blue cheese, and Asian pears. Grilled in lots of butter because everything's better with butter.
You know it.
Right?
Yes.
And then this is just a spin on melon and prosciutto, but because melons are not flavorful at this time of the year, I'm using kiwi. And we grill them a little bit and a little dollop of balsamic syrup.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I love kiwis and I love grilled cheeses.
Thank God I did not use goat cheese or mushrooms for this particular
dish. You saved it.
I would have been like, this is good.
See, why don't we try the prosciutto first?
Okay.
That's going to be a little messy.
Just so that it's not dead air, tell us a little bit about the foundation and what you guys have going on with Elton.
So Elton John AIDS Foundation has been around for 26 years. He created it to help people with HIV and AIDS around the world. And they've raised millions of dollars, and I can't quote the number because I'll probably be wrong, but it's probably over $300 million, I would say, over the 26 years. And then he started doing this Oscar viewing party. So we seat 1,000 people during the Oscar presentation. It's a 5-course dinner. And being a server, you can understand 5 courses in 3.5 hours from start to finish. We need to be done. 100 tables.
Wow.
120 waiters, 65 people in the kitchen.
You have to be so on top of it.
It is. It's so, timing is of essence. So the logistics of timing for this event, very important to make it go smooth. And here I am going into my 15th year in a week and a half.
That was delicious. Wow. I'm going to ask you another question I can keep eating. What?
How is that the way this game works?
This is amazing. Yeah. This is so good, you guys.
Oh
you
my God, it's
well, thanks.
So flavorful.
I appreciate it.
And that was only the first thing we've gotten to try. You shared with us that this is the first year that you've been honored with designing and developing the whole menu from start to finish. What is that experience like for such a big event and to feed so many people, so many courses?
It's first of all, it's a great honor because every year I've worked with a celebrity chef. We change them out every couple of years. So for them to come to me and say, guess what, next year we're going to let you design the menu, you're the chef.
I'm just reaching over here and getting this.
So it's a great thing.
Excuse me. It was a great thing for me to
have the opportunity. And, of course, when I designed the menu and we did a tasting, it came out great. I'm pleased. A few tweaks here and there, like you have to fix anything. And it's a big process. And probably a little more pressure. And probably not as much. More. It's probably the same pressure.
You mentioned you've worked with Gordon on this event several years. So what are some of the other chefs you've worked with?
So last year I worked with the Roca brothers, and the Roca brothers, Joan Roca, they're out of Spain. They are rated the second best restaurant in the world.
Oh my God.
They were a team of 3 wonderful chefs, awesome food, and very involved, delicate, and it was a great experience for my team and myself. I've worked with Kat Cora, Chef Ludo. Also fantastic. So they have carried the past couple of years because they each would work a couple of years. And it was really, it's always a great experience because you learn something and you get to meet these wonderful chefs and, you know.
And is it like a community between, between chefs? Because you get to collaborate and work with so many different people. Do you get to keep in touch after that? And it's like you remain friends? And is it free dinners? with their restaurants? That's what I want to know.
No. Those perks are not the far and few between.
But yes, you know, like we have, because we're on emails the whole time. So, you know, we check in every once in a while. I might run into, like I've run into Ludo at different events and say hello.
Sure.
Obviously, Kat Cora lives, I think, Santa Barbara, mm-hmm. more north. So I haven't seen her in a few years. But I could reach out at any time and say, hey, how are you?
That's checking fantastic. In.
And it's great. And if we're at an event together, I always approach them and say hello.
And that is fantastic, and this is fantastic.
Oh, everybody should start doing grilled cheese on raisin bread.
No, I'm gonna make this.
As long as you like raisins, you have to like raisins.
It's so good.
I'm not even a huge fan of raisins. Usually I don't like not like them. This is one of the best things I've ever had with the mascarpone and the, I love Asian pears. Oh
amazing,
God.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
So basically they changed the decor. We do have to still talk about the restaurant. It's the other Broadway. So they changed the decor up. They freshened it up. Real quick, Chef Wing, you shared with us beforehand, you have owned the current restaurant for 10 years.
Yes.
How often do you revisit decor, paint, chairs, table to fix this kind of stuff? Because obviously this is in complete disrepair.
Right. So on painting, we walk around all the time. So every month we're touching up and fixing whatever we have to. When it comes to replacing tables and chairs, I would say in a busy restaurant, you're going to get 2 to 3 years maximum before things start looking terrible and falling apart. So we replace them as needed, and you have to do that. Otherwise, first of all, somebody could sit on a chair and break. But also, when your guests come in, especially regulars, if the place starts looking like it's falling apart, people are going to wonder what's going on.
Yep.
That's a great point.
And that's right. That's, right.
Before they even taste the food or have service, it's all about visuals when people walk in.
So like we've been saying this entire time in the show, it takes very little to keep up with your paint, replace stuff, repair stuff, and you can inexpensively update the decor to stay modern and what it's got going on. Basically, we see in the post that Steve has no idea what he's doing and he's just reverted. So a lot of hope is lost for this restaurant.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that they're probably not going to be open for too much longer, which is unfortunate. However, Chef Wynn's restaurant and catering business will be open
because this
is amazing.
Thank you
so much for joining us. Thank you for giving us so much insight, telling us about the AIDS Foundation, and for feeding us.
Before we go, the music's coming in. Jonathan, could we put up Chef Wynn's, could we put up the Rockwell Tavern and Stages website real quick? And
then quickly, just
what did I say?
Tavern.
Table. I'm so sorry. Rockwell Table and Stage.
And just quickly tell us where people can find you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're in Las Feliz. We're on Vermont Avenue, just north of Hollywood Boulevard, right in the heart of the village.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
And Mike, where can people find you to continue talking about
Chef Wing, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Guys, I'm Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling. You can find Chef Wayne's restaurant. The website is rockwell-la.com.
Very awesome. And my name is Zia Anderson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land. This has been such a fun show. Chef Wayne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next week.
Go cook some food.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.